New York Post, and it's from October 25th, 2021. A hiker lost on a mountain in Colorado ignored repeated calls from rescuers, later explaining that they had been unfamiliar with the phone number, authorities said. The person was reported missing after they didn't return from an expedition October 18th on Mount Elbert, the highest peak in the state, Lake County Search and Rescue said. Search crews canvassed the area the following day but couldn't find the hiker, officials said. The team then tried to call the hiker but were unable to reach them, authorities said. The hiker had apparently wandered off the trail and spent the night looking for it. After 24 hours lost, they found their way out and made it to their car, officials said. The person apparently didn't know that a search team had been looking for them. The subject ignored repeated phone calls from us because they didn't recognize the number, rescuers wrote on Facebook. If you're overdue according to your itinerary and you start getting repeated calls from an unknown number, please answer the phone. It may be a search and rescue team trying to confirm that you're safe. I don't know what was going through this guy's head. It could be that he really didn't think that he was lost. Or it could be that he wasn't willing to admit that he was lost. Or more likely, it could have been that he knew that he was lost, but he had not reached a point of desperation in which he felt like he was going to have to get someone else's help in order to be rescued. Now, if he had been out there for 5 days without food, then it may have, I'm sure it would have been a different situation for him. But for whatever reason, this man was lost and he did not answer the calls of the rescuer. In Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, Jesus tells three simple but very impactful stories about things that are lost. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Beginning in verse 1, all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The parables found here are about lost things. The first is about a lost sheep. This sheep had strayed away, not paying attention, had wandered off through neglect, and then came to realize that it was far away from the flock and didn't know how to return, and so it needed someone else to come and rescue it. The second story is about a lost coin. This loss came about as the result of someone else's neglect, and it took someone else to search until that coin was found again. And then the third story is about a lost son. He was lost as a result of his own free will. He had made the decision to leave his father and his family and satisfy his own lusts and self-indulgence. And when he realized the mistakes of his ways, he realized that he was lost, and then he returned to be at home with his father. A common thread in these three parables is the joy that was expressed when that which was lost was found. In my Bible, there are captions above each of these parables. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. The second is the parable of the lost coin. And the third is the parable of the lost son, or the parable of the prodigal son. But really, when we go on to read the rest of these stories, we realize that this is not just the parable of the lost son. This is not just the parable of the prodigal son. It is the parable of the lost sons. It's the parable of the prodigal sons. And because we find that the older brother was lost, and he just didn't realize that he was lost. And so let's look at this older brother, the other prodigal son. Again, in verse 22, the father said, "Bring out the best robe and put it on my youngest son that has returned, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Everyone in the household, the father, the family, the friends, the servants, everyone is rejoicing and happy for the son to be home, that had been gone, except for one. In verse 25, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are with me always, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This older son never left home. He was obedient. He was hardworking. In fact, he was out in the fields working whenever his brother came back. From all indications, he was a good, moral man. And yet we say this evening that he was lost. He was a prodigal son. And so let's consider the reasons for this. The number one is that this man had the wrong attitude toward his brother. In verse 28, we read, "He was angry and would not go in." He was so mad that his brother was being celebrated instead of him. And so he refused to acknowledge that his brother was home. He forgot that they were still brothers. In verse 30, he referred to him as this son of yours. Not this brother of mine, this son of yours. And even though his brother had left, he had. Even though he had sinned, he had. But he was still his brother. The younger son had not stopped being the child of his father, and he had not stopped being a brother. They were still family. Even though he had made bad choices, they were still family. And it's the same spiritually. When a child of God sins, that person is still a child of God. God wants them to come back and be with the family, and so we should too. As their brothers and their sisters, we should want them to come back to the family as well. In situations like this, we need to be careful that we aren't more righteous than God. Here was a father who for a long time had longed for his son to return back home. He was waiting and watching for him to return. And when the boy finally came back home, his father saw him from a distance and welcomed him with open arms. And what's astonishing about this is because the father was the one that was sinned against. Not the oldest brother, not the oldest son. It was the father's money that was spent on a wasteful life of harlots, not the older brother. It was the father's farm that was neglected while the son was away. It was the father's upbringing that had been ignored by the younger son. The younger son had sinned against his father, and yet it was the older brother who would not find it in his heart to forgive. And the main problem with the older brother was that he was envious. Envy is that feeling of displeasure produced by the advantage or property of another. In Proverbs 14, verse 30, we're told that envy is rottenness to the bones. Socrates said, "The envious person grows lean with the fatness of his neighbor." In other words, the older brother was content and happy and full until he started comparing himself to his brother. And now, all of a sudden, he's complaining about what he does not have. And this is a danger for all of us. Envy is rottenness to the bones. We can be envy of possessions. We can be envious of family, of other people's children or grandchildren, or brothers or sisters. We could be envious of health. We could be envious of someone else's spirituality. It's a dangerous thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, "Where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal?" We are worldly when we are envious. In James chapter 3, verse 16, "Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." The older brother was envious, and the worst thing about envy is that it caused him to lack love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, "Love does not envy." In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. My little children, do not let us love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And in chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." In all three parables, the sheep, the coin, and the son. There was sincere joy over the lost being found, but not with the older brother. He had the wrong attitude toward his brother. And number two, he had the wrong attitude toward his father. He believed his father was in the wrong for having received the son back into the family. He complained about how the father was treating his brother. "You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." He had forgotten how well his father had treated him all these years. His father had provided him with food, clothing, shelter, work. Even the servants had bread enough and to spare. His father had said, "You are always with me," which implies that they had a fellowship with one another that was greater than just the material blessings that the father gave to that son. The father said, "All that I have is yours." This is the oldest son, and so the father's estate was his. He was heir to his father's estate. And we must remember that we have an inheritance, and so we ought to be grateful. And that inheritance remains the same regardless of what other people do. So we ought not compare ourselves. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." And then also Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29, "For you all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The older son was unthankful to his father. William George Jordan said, "Ingratitude is a crime more despicable than revenge. Revenge is only returning evil for evil, while ingratitude returns evil for good." You know, Jesus, when he healed those 10 lepers, there was only one that came back to say thank you. And Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Being a child of God, we must be grateful for everything that our Father has done for us and given to us. We have a loving Father, and certainly the older son had the wrong attitude toward his father. And number three, he had the wrong attitude about himself. This man said in verse 29, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time." It may be true that he had refrained from the sins of the flesh that his brother had been guilty of when he left home. But this man was not perfect. This man was not without sin. All sin had fallen short of the glory of God. But he was blinded of his own sins. In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, Jesus spoke another parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Many people in Jesus' day, as they met him, were convicted of their sins. They were convicted in their hearts by the teaching of the truth that he brought into the world. And they came to realize that they were sinners, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, tax collectors, harlots, sinners that were lost, and they knew that they were lost. They were separated from God, and they knew that they were separated from God. But the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, were just as far removed from God as these other people. They were just as lost as these other people, but they didn't know it. They didn't admit it. They thought that by their own righteousness, they were justified. And so they were self-righteous and despised those who they felt like were beneath them spiritually. And Jesus was here to teach them that that was the wrong attitude to have about themselves. That's the wrong attitude, of course, to have about ourselves. And that's how the older son is behaving here. You know, there are sins other than drunkenness and immorality. The older brother was guilty of jealousy and envy. He was guilty of being unloving and unforgiving, of pride and self-righteousness, and of course, ingratitude. But he looked at himself as the image of goodness, and because of that, he despised his brother. In Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, this is one of many examples where Jesus was criticized again for spending time with sinners. And Jesus, we're told here that Jesus saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." And of course, every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 12 and verse 3, "Through the grace given to me," Paul says, "to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." The older brother had the wrong attitude about himself. And so we say he was lost, he's a prodigal son, because he had the wrong attitude about his brother, his father, and himself. And another thing we need to realize is that others suffered because of his attitudes. The younger brother suffered. You know, after being gone so long, I have to believe that this young man, he wanted to see his family. He wanted to see his father. He wanted to see those servants. He wanted to see his brother again. He was excited to see them. And this would have been, should have been the happiest days of his entire life, but it was marred by his older brother's attitude. And when someone leaves the church and comes back, there are going to be insecurities. There are going to be thoughts and doubts going through their minds. How will people receive me? Do they really want me back? Will they hold my sins against me? Maybe I shouldn't come back. Look at the trouble that I've caused. And for brothers and sisters to receive them back in forgiveness means everything. And for a brother or sister to hold grudges and not be willing to forgive, the joy that should be there just isn't there like it should be. We have to receive our brothers and sisters with a heart of forgiveness. And the father suffered because of the attitude of the older brother. The father's joy for his lost son was interrupted. Joy and happiness cannot long survive in the presence of a bad disposition. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know, one bad attitude negatively affects an entire group. I mean, we see this in personal lives, work environments, school, and certainly in the church. The father was rejoicing because his son had returned home, and now that joy was mixed with sorrow because of the division that the older son was causing in the family. And of course, the older brother caused himself to suffer because of his attitude. He became a miserable person. You know, a person that's envious is a miserable person. A person that's unwilling to forgive becomes a miserable person. You know, it can be said that this man was happier before his brother repented. This man was happier before his brother came home. And that's a sad thing to say. And so now he finds himself in the position that his brother had been in, cut off from the fellowship because of his own attitude, all because of his refusal to forgive. And the reason that Jesus told these three parables in the first place was because of the attitude of the scribes and the Pharisees. Before he told the parables, we read when the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told the parables. So Jesus told these parables to show the scribes and the Pharisees that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. He told the parables to show them that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. He told the parables to teach them that it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The other prodigal son, the other lost son, the older son who didn't realize that he was lost, represented those scribes and those Pharisees. And we just need to make sure that he doesn't represent us. He doesn't represent me. The attitude that we must have is the same attitude that the father had. The father's attitude toward the younger son was that he never stopped loving him, even though the son had left him. His concern for him was never diminished. He was ready to forgive as soon as the son came back. He had a heart of forgiveness. He expressed joy when the son repented and came back home, and he restored his son to full fellowship. And also the father's attitude toward the older son. He reminded him that he always had a place for him. He reminded him that all that he had was his. And he appealed to his reason to rejoice with him that the lost son had come home. As the parable of the lost son began, the older son was at home and the younger son was on the outside. But now the younger son is back home where he belongs, but the older son is on the outside. And the lesson for us is that the sins of the older son will cause us to be lost, just like the sins of the younger son will. And so let him who stands take heed, lest he fall. So we need to stay humble. We need to have the right attitude about our brothers and sisters, the right attitude toward our Heavenly Father, and the right attitude about ourselves. Kind, merciful, forgiving, and loving, recognizing that we are just as susceptible to sin as anyone. Because unlike that Colorado hiker that we read about at the beginning, we are not going to be able to wander around through the night and day until we stumble across our car to save ourselves from sin. It just doesn't work that way. We are going to have to answer that call. We are going to have to rely on the rescuer that is reaching out to us and trying to save us. Each of us needs the grace and the mercy and the compassion of our loving God in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on the cross, so that we can have redemption from our sins and be brought into a right relationship with God again, to become friends with God again. And so if you realize that you're lost, know that Jesus is trying to call you. And we need to answer that call. If you've never become a Christian, you have the opportunity to do that this morning or this evening. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confess that. Repent of the things you've done in the past. 180 degree turn away from those things and be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to have your sins washed away so that you can rise to walk in newness of life. Or if you've done this and need the prayers of your brothers and sisters, make those things known while together we stand and sing.